Hello, everyone. Welcome to another weekend of special edition with Aliki today. Aliki has been here on the second episode. Go watch it. Go listen to it. Traitor boob. Yay. But today, honoring the International Women's Day, we are going to talk about something different. We're going to talk about our vaginas and share with you our birth stories. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Embarrassing Diary. Okay, so you have three kids, right? Yes,
correct.
What are the ages of your kids?
Right now, they're 11, 9, and 7.
Okay. And how did they all go as planned?
Absolutely not.
Okay, no, tell us.
Absolutely not. Well, my first one, first of all, he was born prematurely. He was born when I was 32 weeks pregnant, so I was just 7 months. And that was quite scary for your first child and everything. And what was scary was that they were trying to keep him in because they were injecting me with a solution to make his lungs go open.
Oh.
So they had to keep him in.
Like the oven.
Yeah, exactly. And it was like 3 days. But I mean, now I laugh about it, but there were stories, for example, that I was in pain for 3 days.
But so you were 32 weeks old, yeah, and all of a sudden you felt pain?
I wasn't 32 weeks.
32 weeks pregnant.
I was 32 weeks pregnant, exactly. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Stop.
No. And my water didn't break. I started with contractions.
Okay. So before you have anything, tell us, how does a contraction feel?
You know when you have terrible diarrhea where you feel your intestines are being like twisted so you can get all everything out, plus constipation, those two together.
Yeah. So diarrhea and constipation.
Yeah. That's the best way I can describe it so everybody can understand.
Man, yeah.
No, it's horrible. It's really, yeah. It's... I know that other people say that it's like when you're on fire, but no.
No, no, no.
It's a very... You really feel that things are being torn apart.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, so you were 32 weeks pregnant.
Yes, 32 weeks
and
pregnant.
And contractions started.
And contractions started, yeah. And I had to run to the hospital. And they were like, yeah, the baby is coming. So they gave me high blood pressure pills to stop the contractions having the strength to push the baby out.
Uh-huh.
But I still had the pain of the contractions because they were still
happening. Oh, my God.
So by the third day, they were like, okay, we need to give you something for the pain. Yeah, 3 days.
Okay.
3 days. So they said we have to give you something for the pain because you're going to go crazy, basically.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So
yeah.
They were discussing morphine or epidural. And they did the epidural. And the epidural worked against the high blood pressure pills. So the baby was born in 20 minutes.
Oh,
yeah.
They say the epidural rashes thing.
Yeah, no, but it was funny. I mean, my parents had traveled over and they were in the room as well. And my mom and my husband were kind of like, it's okay, breathe, breathe. And then my father was in the corner looking at the monitor and going, a big contraction's coming, a big contraction's coming.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, because they can see that, right?
Exactly. And that was not helping. I was in panic. Because I also hadn't done my breathing exercises.
Yeah,
he was born
yeah.
on a Thursday. And on Friday, I had scheduled my breathing exercises, so I had no idea how to breathe. Foo, 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 foo. No,
yes.
It wasn't working.
About the contractions, I had the same. So maybe we can explain that to the audience in case they don't know. They put a machine around your waist.
Kind of a belt.
Kind of a
and
belt.
And that's to check the pulse of the baby.
Yeah, yeah, so then they can also check the contractions.
Yep.
It goes up. And the funny thing is, like, you can see the wave before you will feel it. So other people can also see it. So that's what you mean.
And
like,
And that's, if you can see it, that's why they turn the monitor away from you. You can panic about it as well.
Yeah, because you see it.
Because you know the pain is coming.
Yeah,
yeah, exactly.
Oh.
Yeah, but 3 days. But he was out.
So he was out how?
He was fine.
7 months?
He was seven months, gestation of 7 months. He was premature. Mm. It was very scary because he had to stay in hospital.
How long?
He stayed for a month.
Oh.
But he was doing well every time, so that was really encouraging. There was a lot of a lot of panic, a lot of worry. It's very heartbreaking going home without your baby.
How was it for you? Like, were you okay with that?
Well, I no. there were a lot of emotions. I mean, you've got a lot of hormones going on. Mm. You've got a lot of emotions going on. It helped that we hadn't, because we're procrastinators, we hadn't got the baby room prepared. So I had something to focus on
when I was
stuck at home. But otherwise, yeah, no, also the whole thing where I had to put an alarm clock and get up every 3 hours and pump milk.
Oh,
to keep
to
keep everything flowing. Because
I hated pumping. I love breastfeeding. I hated pumping. It's like you're like somebody.
You're a cow.
You're a cow. Cafeteria, a factory.
The restaurant's open. That's what we used to say. No, it's breastfeeding. I enjoyed with my two first ones.
Yeah.
Not with my third.
No. Why?
Well, it was, they were, again, breastfeeding was a different experience with every kid.
Yeah.
My eldest was, I don't know, there was the bonding, it was nice. Mm-hmm. I could hold him with one hand and do things. But my second, I kind of had to, like, really help him a little bit. But my third, it was...
the third is the girl.
Yeah, my third is the girl. That was very painful.
Yeah.
And I don't know if I was doing something wrong, but I know that with my first, I breastfed for 9 months, my second 6 months, mm-hmm. and my third one, barely 3.5.
Oh, okay. Yeah. It was so bad. Okay.
Yeah, but it was just not pleasant after a while. Yeah. She would cry, I would cry. And then I gave her the formula and she slept and I slept and I was like, why am I doing this to myself?
Perfect. High five, baby. Go.
So yeah, so let's, I just stopped this. It doesn't mean that because with one baby it worked, it's going to work with the other one.
Yeah, and there's this misconception. I didn't know it. And I want to say that here, like, you don't have to breastfeed if you don't want to. Doesn't mean that you're a bad mom.
Absolutely not.
It doesn't mean you're not trying hard, you don't care. Like, there is so much pressure. I had a friend that she told me, if I don't breastfeed, I will feel like a failure. And I was like...
No, and that's the other thing that you need to remember, that the mom has to be happy, not has to be, but if she can find ways of making herself feel more comfortable, less stressed, and one of them is to eliminate breastfeeding, by all means do it. Yeah. Thankfully, we live in today's day and age where there's formulas even for lactose intolerant babies, if that's the case.
Yeah.
Apparently, I found out recently that there's formula where where it helps with colic.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it costs more, of course, but it's special in there and everything. So you can...
Capitalism found a way.
Yeah, no, but there's loads of things that you can do nowadays. And if breastfeeding stresses you, then it takes away the joy from it. I mean, any way your life is turned upside down and any way you need to figure out how you're going to keep this little thing alive, if breastfeeding is going to add to it, just... eliminate.
You have so many things on your list to worry
about. You can get it out of the way. Yeah.
So that's the first kid, right?
Yeah, that's my first kid. Yeah.
And then the second birth?
He was also 3 days.
What do you mean 3 days?
The birth took 3 days. For a completely different reason.
Okay, tell us about it.
Well, with him, I had pregnancy diabetes, so I had to do insulin shots for about 6 to 8 weeks, I think.
So what is a pregnancy diabetes?
Pregnancy diabetes is when the pancreas basically is not, the sugar, the glucose in the amniotic fluid is not being digested properly, not being balanced properly, let's say. Mm-hmm. And that can cause issues where the child is anyway a bit bigger maybe, but also it can cause problems with the birth.
Yeah.
So
you didn't have it in the first kid, but you had it in the second.
Well, they don't know. They think that maybe I did have it and that's why he was premature. But we don't know. And we're probably never going to find out.
Okay, yeah.
But yeah, no. But with my second one, what happened was that when you do insulin shots, they have to come out at 38 weeks. Uh-huh. So at 38 weeks on the clock, we went to the hospital and we started all the natural procedures of inducing me. Now, when I say natural procedures, instead of going straight for a cesarean like they would sometimes do, with my case, they did first the Foley catheter.
Oh, yes. Oh, my God. They also asked me to do that, but I didn't do it. Oh. Okay, tell us, what is a Foley? Oh, my God.
Well, the Foley catheter is the catheter literally... instead of going to your bladder, it goes up to your vagina.
Yeah.
And they fill it up with water So it kind of grows like a balloon and it puts pressure on the cervix. So the cervix thinks that's the head of the baby.
Yeah.
So it starts effacing, starts becoming thinner so it can come out.
You did that? You did it?
I did that. And when I did it, my husband was giggling and saying, you have a party up your hoo-buff. Yeah. All the support I needed.
Oh, God. Sorry. I'm coughing.
That's all right.
Okay. And so, did it help?
Well, it felt very uncomfortable. There was a lot of pressure.
I mean, you had two balloons, literally.
Yeah, basically.
Like, yeah, you made it too.
But I was walking up and down.
Yeah.
And at some point, that thing fell out, which meant that everything was starting to open.
Yeah.
So that was really, finally comforting, but it was 24 hours later.
Again, okay, yeah.
And so the next day, we were like, okay, this is happening. Nope. So they gave me the pills, the Milos, I don't remember what you call it, but Misoprostol, I think. And that's, Misoprostol.
Okay.
I'm not sure. It's been a while since I've heard that.
Cut it. Okay. Sorry. Yeah. No, it's fine.
No, but they gave me that pill. Nothing happened. And then they gave it to me again. And then contractions started happening.
This drug. Okay. Yeah. I've never heard of this drug.
Yeah. Well, it's the one, it's also for abortion. But
this is not the episode.
This is not the episode we wanted. No, but it's for medically induced, like when there's a problem and they know it's going to be going for a miscarriage and it can help speed up the process. It's for that.
It's like a ketchup.
Well, basically. No, but it helps with the contractions. It helps with your uterus to start contracting, basically.
Yeah.
And that's the thing that it starts doing. I'm not exactly, like I said, I'm not a doctor.
We're moms. But we felt it. But it's an experience, I'm sure.
Exactly. When they told me you're going to take these pills and your uterus will start contracting, I just said, yeah, get it out of me.
Okay.
But
okay.
Yeah, so that was the thing that we reached the point where I was 2 days now and nothing was happening. Just contractions, which were painful again.
Do you hear that, man? If somebody says, we're a llama, yes, she was, this is the second day and she's still waiting, okay?
And the best part is that I screamed again, please give me something for the pain. We did an epidural and we realized that the epidurals do not work with me.
Okay. I actually had an allergic reaction to the epidural.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
What happened?
My eyes started, they told me, do you have low blood pressure?
Oh.
And I'm like, yes, I really have a low blood pressure.
After they gave you the epidural?
Yes. After. And then, you know, I remember that my eyes started twitching.
Yeah.
Everybody rushed in the room. And I swear to God, I thought I saw a priest saying something for Mario.
You hallucinate. Yeah.
I was hallucinating.
Yeah.
It was not good. No. Not good at all. No.
No. But the epidural didn't work.
Yeah.
And then they said to me, okay, if we're going to break your water. So they broke my water.
The water
themselves.
Break,
yeah.
It feels awkward when they did that. Well, to be crazy. Fair,
it felt that I felt like, whoo, some pressure is off. Yeah, because it was quite heavy.
And also the water.
Is a lot.
Is a lot.
It's a lot, yeah.
It's like peeing for the... It feels like peeing, but it's not peeing. It's just like a lot
It's basically if you take a bottle, a 1 liter bottle, and you're pouring it down the toilet. That's basically
it. You know those things that we have for wine? Or you put the little... Yeah, that's what it is.
Yeah,
they just go.
There's no tap to close it.
Yeah.
Yeah, so they broke my water and they said, if he's not out in the next hour, we're going to... Do a cesarean.
Okay.
And of course, he was born in 45 minutes.
No.
He just waited.
So it was natural birth.
It was natural birth in the end. Yeah.
How is natural birth? I had a C-section. So.
Yeah. No. Well, like I said, the contractions are terrible. Yeah. But I mean, that whole once the baby is out, you feel the relief of okay, it's out. I mean,
you push, do you feel pain? Or not?
No, when you push, it's actually a relief because you're doing something.
Yeah.
Because before that, they actually tell you wait because you have to wait until you're at the right centimeters and all that. And if you do it before, it can hurt, which I did do with my second because I had a contraction. I pushed, he didn't come out. And then I continued pushing and they said to me, wait for a contraction. I said, go.
Yeah.
I am pushing. I'm having a contraction. And there was a nurse there who was kind of bored and she was sitting like this and she was going, yeah, she's going to push anyway. And my husband goes, she's like that at home. So yeah, and then thankfully our son was born, so I didn't punch him.
But you know what? I think poor nurses. Yeah. They've all been punched at some point hospital, or yelled at.
Told off, yeah, no, absolutely.
We should have an appreciation group for all, like, if you're watching, if you're a nurse, we love you, you're amazing, like, thank you for, or midwives, like, really.
No, but we should, the same way they make a joke and say you should buy flowers to yourself because you gave birth when it's your child's birthday, you should also buy flowers to all the midwives that were
there.
Because they have been through, like,
It's a lot. I met a midwife guy that he was a man.
Oh, nice.
How do you call midman?
I've never met
husband. But it was a guy. Yeah, he was very nice as well.
Oh, that's good. That's nice. I haven't had that.
So, okay, so this was the second one.
Yep.
And, okay, so it was normal. He went home.
Well, he didn't cry when he came out. And that was my first question. Like, why is he not crying? And thankfully, the nurse turned him around and said, look, his eyes are open.
He's beautiful.
But he was completely knocked out from all the drugs that I had been given.
Oh, boy.
And because of that, he didn't breastfeed as fast as with my first.
Yeah.
And he got jaundice, where he becomes yellow. And we had to go back into the hospital and put him under the blue light for 3 days. And then we came back home. So
Okay, what's that?
When your liver doesn't work, you see it, that you become yellow and your eyes, the white becomes yellow. That is, it's jaundice. It happens very often in a lot of babies.
Yeah.
But the trick is to see it quickly enough and then take them and you can put them in the incubator.
Exactly. Okay, so relatively better compared to the
He other. Was bigger. That was the thing. My first one was 1 kilo, 700 grams, and he was 3.5.
Yeah.
And normally, babies' heads fold to help come through.
Oh, God.
His did not. Silence.
Stubborn head.
Yep. So I got stitches.
My God. Okay, we all got it, what happened, right? Did we all get it?
No, it wasn't as bad as it can be, because some can get torn from the front to the back. Mine was just a couple of stitches, so it was okay. But it's the funny story about this is that I'm holding my baby. I'm happy I'm holding him and he's not been taken away to go to an incubator. And I have my legs wide open. And there's two nurses who are interns. And they, because there was another twin birth happening, the doctor said congratulations and left, went to the other room. These two nurses had their heads between my legs and I could hear them discussing, do we stitch this bit? Do we close this bit? Shall we wait and ask? Yeah, but she's bleeding. Yeah, should we just close it? So I was just kind of patting my baby and thinking, I'm not hearing this.
Oh my God.
Why am I understanding Dutch suddenly?
Oh so, my God.
Yeah, but thankfully one of the doctors came to check and see how it was going.
Yeah.
And they pointed and they did it. But they also had given me an anesthetic there, so I couldn't feel what was going on.
So, and at that moment, when you have your baby, right, is your golden hour, right?
Yeah.
So I wanted to ask you, since we're here, we can talk also about the third baby.
The third one.
Sorry, Ophelia. And then we can talk about the golden hour, which is interesting.
Yeah.
So how did the third birth happen? How did you get, no, I'm joking.
Well, the third one, ironically, was... I managed to reach 40 weeks with her.
Yeah.
So that was
it was a
milestone. I mean, I was 40 weeks minus 2 days, but that's for me, it's the 40th
come
week.
On,
yeah.
This is way too much.
But the thing was that with her, I was very sick. I had lost a lot of weight and everything was very tight. And I kept having to go to the hospital because she wasn't moving that much. And they were keeping an eye on me in case I got pregnancy diabetes with her, which I didn't. But then at some point they said to me, okay, she's not moving. She's fine, but we see that everything's tight. So let's just get her out.
Okay.
And I was a bit reluctant, but then... when I got up and threw up again, that one extra morning of throwing up in that pregnancy, I said, yeah, I'm done. Let's get her out.
Yeah, yeah.
So there, they gave me the pills again, which I do not remember the name of.
Yeah.
And I was thinking, okay, this is going to take 3 days as well.
Mm-hmm.
It took 3 hours.
Oh, wow. Boom, boom, boom.
But I swear, I would take the births of the boys anytime.
Really?
Yes.
Why?
Because this was... the contractions normally, like you said before, the contractions will go up and go down and they'll give you a break. Mm-hmm. When you have medically induced contractions, it will go up and stay there.
Yeah. I've had it as well. Yeah.
So you have what they call in Dutch a Weenstorm, which is contraction storm.
Yeah.
And it just doesn't stop. And they were saying to me, like,
contraction storm.
Yeah, yeah. It's just a constant thing. It's
exhausted.
Well, I was screaming. I was hitting. The nurse was pushing my back to kind of ease the pain. It was.
Oh.
But she came out. It was fine. But it was
natural birth.
Natural birth. Yeah. Okay. But then when they gave her to me, my husband went, "Oh, she's beautiful." And I looked at him and said, "Yeah, she's the last one."
Yeah, no. I mean, I actually,
with the boys, I didn't panic as much. Yeah. And I think it was because I had the breaks.
But with her,
I panicked. It was full-fledged. I had more control because I knew a bit more what to do and what to expect.
Yeah, yeah.
But I think also because of that, there was more panic and I was more scared. It was way more painful. Plus, I didn't get an epidural, of course, because...
Yeah,
it doesn't work with
me. It doesn't work.
And the deal was that I would get a morphine shot, which you can only get at 7 centimeters.
Woo-hoo! Morphine shot.
Yeah, but
perfecto.
I dilated from 2 to 3 centimeters to 9 within less than an hour. So when I said, "Give me something for the pain," they went, "Sorry, you're on your own."
So yeah, that's what the thing they told me to say. Yep. There is only a specific window we can give you specific drugs.
Yep.
So the 7 is fine, but if you dilate too quickly, too much.
Yep.
Because before the end, you're not allowed to take drugs because you're about to push.
Exactly.
And it affects the baby, right?
Yep. It affects the baby, and that's the problem. So.
Every birth story I hear, it's different. Like, I've heard any kind of story out there. Like,
they are different.
Nobody prepares you, and they in the Netherlands they really prepare you for home birth.
Yep.
What do you think about home birth?
I love it.
Yeah, you love it.
I really wanted a home birth.
Yeah.
I wanted the comfort of my own home. Mm-hmm. I love the idea of having the bath,
mm-hmm,
and giving birth in the water, because I know that with my first, when I was sitting in the shower with hot water on my back, through the contractions, I could talk normally.
Yeah, yeah.
But lying down on my back was an absolute, like, I'm sitting on a fire.
Yeah.
But I really wanted to give a home birth, but because my first was premature, I was that they don't allow that after that. I have to be even my, because normally here in the Netherlands you get the midwife assigned to you.
I
had the midwife from the hospital. I wasn't allowed to go out because of my first being a premature baby.
But you know the thing, like, they prepare you so much about home birth, and they don't tell you that things can go really wrong.
Oh yeah.
And because of that, I personally felt like I failed my birth plan.
Because you had signed for to give birth at home? Or?
Yeah, I was supposed to be at home. Okay. My baby came really late. I had an emergency C-section in the end. They induced me. Nothing was inducing me. Like, things were not going down. And then in the end, it was an emergency C-section. But the thing is, like, I thought, oh, I didn't do the home birth. I didn't do it as well, the breathing. I don't know what's wrong with the breathing. Like, I also did exercise with the breathing, and I'm like, I can't do the breathing right now.
There's this whole thing around birth where I find it very silly that people say, oh, you're pregnant, you're glowing, you're having the best time of your life, hello. And then when you give birth, oh, you did such a fantastic thing. Yes, you brought light. You grew a human in 9 months or 7 months, depending. You grew them really fast, and you've brought them to life and whatnot, but it's not all roses. Yes, there's a lot of mothers now which are coming forward, and I'm really glad they're doing that, where they said, yeah, I looked at my baby and I didn't fall in love straight away.
Yes.
Yeah, and that is absolutely fine, because it's such a shock to your body, to your psyche, to your emotions, to your brain. They actually have proven now that the mother's brain rewires when she gives birth.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of things happening.
Updating software while you're looking at this baby.
Yeah, exactly.
It's true. So, I felt the same. I didn't feel, and I felt guilt because I didn't feel loved.
And that's the thing that immediately we should eradicate. We should stop that. Like, do not feel guilty. Explain that it's also normal. Not everybody, it's not all one size fits all.
Yeah, and it's also about the mother really needs to be on the top priority during the first period, like maybe even the first year, I must say.
Yep.
Like the the partner, that's why it's important to have a good partner.
Yes.
When I hear women do it by themselves, I'm like, how, like, so, heroes, it's so yeah. hard.
Yeah.
When I hear, like, I met a lady the other day on a clothing store, she had triplets by herself.
Oh,
I'm like, how did you feed all of them? Like,
no.
You have one and it's hard. Imagine having three at the same time.
And you don't sleep.
You don't sleep. It's very hard.
No, no.
So partners have really, the first year, just help your wife, your girlfriend, whatever. Like, just be there. You have to be her mama.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Her mama, but also, like, sometimes you need to stop them, because I know that sometimes I would feel, okay, I'm feeling better, I want to do something more, and then I would crash.
Sleep. You need to sleep a lot. You don't sleep.
Yeah.
Did you have I had the fight flight mode. I couldn't sleep because I was like, my baby. Did you have the same? Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Well, the first one, definitely. And it was every time, like, he had colic. So when he would sleep, he would go like that. And you're like, oh, come on, please settle. And then when he would settle, we would be like, okay, is he dead? Is he breathing?
Yes.
And
Same.
So that's, it's also when the parental instinct kicks in as well.
It's
there's a lot of things that are romanticized.
I think
we should get more of the hardcore truth. No, I mean,
yeah,
I try to avoid when I have a friend of mine who's expecting to share my birth story because I don't want to scare them.
Yeah.
However, if they ask me, I'm not going to sugarcoat it. I'm going to say, look, this happens and this happens, but you can ask for this, you can ask for that. Discuss with your midwife, discuss with your doctor. You know, that's what they're there for.
And
thankfully, I mean, in this country, they're very good.
Yeah, we're talking about the Netherlands in case you're
listening. Just FYI. Advertising. So,
I'm having a terrible cough. I'm so sorry. But I wanted to ask you about also the golden hour, coming back to the golden hour. What is the golden hour, first of all?
Yep.
We should explain that. Mm-hmm. And how did you experience your three golden hours?
The golden hour, the golden hour is basically the first hour after the baby is born. My situation, well, with my first, he literally was put on me and then taken away from me.
Yeah.
Like in less than a minute.
Yeah.
And then they checked him and they brought him back to me. I held him again for 30 seconds, wrapped up, and they put him in the incubator. And then I was allowed to hold him only 1 hour per day.
Oh,
because he was tiny.
I'm sorry.
So it was not really pleasant. But like I said, he was doing really well every day. So it gradually became more and more. He was as the incubator. So my golden hour with my first one, I think, lasted a month.
If you
count the 24 hours. Yeah.
Because the idea, the essence of the golden hour is like during that first hour is a super bond between the mother and the child.
Yeah.
You don't have to feel bad if you didn't have it, obviously. But if you have it, they say that the hormones are so high at the moment. That you feel this feeling. It is true. I felt like I was really high. High.
It's true, because with my second, which my panic was, I do not want my baby taken away from me. And they actually left me. I got to hold him 2 hours before they even measured him, which was great, because I just sat there. We were looking at each other, and that I see it now that they're a bit older. My oldest, he's going as a teenager, but he... when he comes to cuddle me, it's kind of just like a little leaning on the shoulder. Whereas my middle one, he loves cuddles. He's a cuddle bear. And I think I honestly believe it has to do with the fact that he was just in my arms for the first couple of hours.
Mm-hmm.
And my daughter, I mean, she cried a lot, but she was also in my arms.
Yeah.
But she had to be weighed quicker than him. So about half an hour, they had to check her.
Yeah.
But then I got her back. But With my daughter, it was a different situation, because both my boys are born in September.
Yeah.
So we were prepared for like nice weather and everything. My daughter's in February.
Ah, me
You'd
too.
Think that with my third child, we would know better.
No.
We didn't pack her clothes properly.
You forget, right? Yeah. You forget.
So, so that was that was more the issue at that moment. Like, it's snowing outside. We didn't bring a jacket.
Oh, no. Oh
yeah, they wrapped her up in this diaper.
Like a burrito.
But the golden hour is, it's different with every child. It's different with every birth. And there's no right or wrong with the golden hour. There's no right or wrong in your birth story either.
Yeah.
The main thing is that you you don't feel guilty about whatever happens, and you just make the best of what you feel is the right thing to do, because you need to focus on, at the end of the day, it's your baby and you're its mother. And you follow that instinct. No grandmother, aunt, anyone
meet
can
with
come
doctor.
And, yeah, they can't tell you what to do. They can give you advice. They can give you suggestions. But at the end of the day, your gut will know what to do.
Yeah, yeah. And you know, you really know. You instinctually.
Exactly. You know. So you shouldn't. And if you feel that things are a bit overwhelming or too overwhelming, ask for help.
Yeah.
There's no shame in asking for help.
So I wanted actually to close this conversation with one of the advices that you gave me.
Oh.
You sent me, I don't have the message right now, I have it in Greek, but I remember you told me, she was the one texting me and I said, I don't know what to do, I'm really losing it. And she was really focusing on, ask for help when you want somebody to wash your clothes.
Yep.
Ask for help when somebody wants you to bring you food.
No, but that, because it's often that you have friends who say, oh, can I come and see the baby? Yeah, great. Yeah. Can I do anything? And you say, no, it's okay. I didn't do that with my first and second, but with my third, I started and I said, yeah, can you cook me a meal?
Yes.
And just bring it so I can put it in the freezer. Or to another friend who was quite close, I said, can you just hang up my washing?
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It sounds like something very silly, simple, but it is half an hour that I do not have with a newborn.
Yeah.
So things like that. And
so
what advice?
Yeah. So now if mom to be is listening and she's on an 8-9 month, what advice would you give to her?
Don't stress. No, that's not going to happen. But just be in the moment. The birth, you're not going to be able to plan it perfectly. Something will go differently.
Not wrong, but differently.
Do not stress them. Not wrong, but differently. Something will go differently. Something will go in a way that you don't expect. But once the baby is there, you will figure it out. It's not going to be a smooth ride. It's going to be very bumpy.
Yeah.
I have older children now, but there's still moments where I'm thinking, I could have handled that better.
Yeah.
You're going to have that from day one, from the moment you figure out you're pregnant. And one of the funniest advices that my mom gave me was, welcome to the land of always feeling guilty.
Oh.
Which is not, it's funny to think about it, but because indeed you think, oh, I did this, but was it enough? Oh, I shouldn't have done that. I could have done it this way. And you're always going to be doubting yourself in that way. But you need to understand also that you can be honest with your child. Like I'm honest with them. And I say to my eldest, I'm sorry, honey, but you're growing up and I'm growing up with you. It's the first time I have an 11-year-old.
Yeah.
It's the first time I have, you know, in a few months, a 12-year-old.
Yeah.
My second one gets the experience and gets less attention.
Yeah.
My third one as well. But that's the thing. Just be open. I mean, of course, when they're tiny, you won't have a conversation.
True.
But exactly.
Yeah.
But it still is something. If you talk to your child, talking, actually, they've proved it.
Yeah.
It makes the baby calmer. And a calm baby, calm mother, calm baby.
Absolutely.
So, calm parents, I should say calm parents because they've proven that also in people with adoption, that it works that way.
And also calm family. Like if your mom doesn't stress you out, like grandparents as well, please be calm. Well.
Yeah, no, but it's... Yeah. There's the excitement of a new baby, and I get that. But you always need to kind of remember to come back and take a deep breath at a time.
It's going to be okay. Welcome to the Motherhood's Abuse Club.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's going to be okay.
Well, you just have one for now.
Yeah. I
have three, and, you know, if it was that terrible, I would have stopped at one.
Yeah, I know.
So, yeah.
I'll stop.
So, but there is something addictive about, little one, tiny one. But now that I have older kids, it's really nice that when friends come and they have their little babies, I'm like, oh, you're so cute.
Yeah.
I can give it back.
Hold it, yeah.
So, yeah.
Well, thank you so much
for
today's episode. I think everyone will like it. It was really a pleasure to see you, to have you. It was a different episode today.
Yeah, it was different. It was more I like to say more light.
more light compared to the second episode.
Yeah.
Go listen to the second episode.
But it's more that we share our stories so people know, like, if one person has had something similar that they don't feel alone.
Yes.
But also to really highlight that every birth story is different.
Yeah.
Every feeling of a new
born
is valid, it's different, and it's fine.
Yeah. And if you are a mama there, don't forget to subscribe to the channel. We will have more episodes with Aliki for sure in the future. She's a homie right now. She's coming every few episodes. So if you want something else, Aliki, to discuss with us, just let us know in the comments and she will make it true. She will make it happen.
I will try.
She will definitely try. Thank you so much, Aliki.
Thank you. Thank you for having me again.
Bye. Bye.